Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is Klemena Antonova. She's an art historian specializing in the art of the icon, and she's also the curator of the exhibition Icons for Our Time, Orthodox Art from Around the World, which is at the Museum of Russian Icons until April 3rd, 2022. Klemena, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you about this exhibition.
Hello, Mark. Thank you very much for having me, and thank you very much for showing interest in the exhibition.
Now, this is part of the museum's celebration exhibition for its 15th anniversary. So this is a big deal, this exhibition. And when I read your notes on it, I have so many questions about this exhibition. I always thought of icons as one from Russia and generally old, not contemporary. And this element presents a lot of sort of, as you call it, paradoxes. And that's your language about this show, because how could you have icons from countries other than Russia that are contemporary?
Well, yes, I think that this is in a way the heart of the problem here. On the one hand, that we have icons from basically, as the title of the exhibition says, from all over the world. So this is one thing. And then the other thing is that they're all contemporary icons. And most people think of an icon as a form of art which is typical of a certain part of the world.
Russia.
Eastern Orthodox. Eastern
Orthodox, yeah.
Yeah, so basically Byzantium and countries and cultures that were influenced by Byzantium, so especially Russia. And most people think of an icon as a form of art that is a signature feature of medieval civilization. So in a way, this is what I think is exciting about the exhibition, about seeing it, but also for me as a curator, what was exciting about organizing this exhibition was that, you know, the whole idea was to collect 15 icons from 15 different countries by prominent contemporary iconographers. So I think that the problem of the exhibition and the paradoxes and the really interesting ideas are already there, you know, at the heart of the project, you know, because it's a contemporary, we've collected contemporary icons from countries like, you know, Japan, England, America, and of course also Russia, Bulgaria, Romania,
right.
Greece, and so on.
There's a lot of the icons in this exhibition are from what would be called Eastern Europe.
Yes. I think that this is probably what most people, most viewers would actually expect. Most viewers would expect to see icons from Eastern Europe, from Russia. But I think it would be unusual and probably quite unexpected to find icons from countries that are really not seen as part of Eastern Orthodox civilization, and countries which are not, like, for example, America. And so I think that one of the ideas of the exhibition is basically to show that the icon has become a global form of art. It's literally produced all over the world.
Wow.
So this is one thing. And the second thing is that with every other aspect of civilization and of globalization, this poses its problems. Once the icon becomes global, there are a lot of these problematic features about it that come out. You know, how is a Japanese icon, in what sense is a Japanese icon Eastern Orthodox if it is produced for people who are not, most of them, Eastern Orthodox?
Okay, can we stop, pause there for a minute? Because I think this is going to be, for the audience, I need to get some things clear. Let's talk about icons in general before we talk about this exhibition, which then destroys all our definitions of icons. How would you define an icon? Like, what are the earmarks of an icon, of a typical icon?
Well, Well, you know, I think that you can probably teach a whole course on the definition of the icon in different national art historical traditions.
Does it have to be a Eastern Orthodox tradition, or can you have icons from other traditions?
Well, you know, we are trying to show with the exhibition that, yes, you can have icons from other traditions. But, you know, a lot of people would actually disagree about that.
Yeah.
There have been many books, art history books, and so on, that actually start from the premise that the icon is the signature feature of Eastern Orthodox civilization. So in a way, what the exhibition is trying to do is to address all these questions, to shed some light on them. But we're not really trying to give an answer to, you know, what is an icon. We're just trying to make it more problematic and more interesting.
So you're creating more problems but offering no answers.
Well, but you know,
you can be honest, Clemena. You can be honest with me.
I am honest. I think that, you know, I don't know if you agree with that, but some of the most interesting books I've read are books that open problems and open a door to thinking about something rather than giving you easy solutions about problems that are quite straightforward. So I think that what we try to do with this exhibition is really to open a space for debate exactly on such issues. What is an icon? Does an icon need to be, this is probably one of the most interesting questions, does it need to be a religious cult image? Because this is what an icon means in a medieval civilization. It's not an artwork, it is an image that people pray to. One of the most usual definitions of an icon is a helpmate in the process of prayer. The very fact that you put an icon in a museum means that you're already contesting this idea, because most people who go to a museum don't usually pray, but some do. I've seen people who pray in museums in front of icons.
So one of the definitions of an icon could be, I'm not saying it is, not necessarily in the way it looks, but in the way it's used.
Yes. So it's about very much about the function of the icon. And this is why, again, I think a contemporary icon is quite interesting because it doesn't necessarily have the same function that an icon in the medieval period had.
Right.
And, you know, the way I see that, you know, probably from a more conservative point of view, people would say, well, in this case, it's not an icon. What sort of icon is that if it doesn't fulfill the function of an icon? I would think that if you think of an icon as a form of art that is connected to the culture of the time, a contemporary icon should answer the needs of contemporary culture. You know, issues that we are engaged with. You know, that's why one of our icons by an American artist, Patricia Preble, shows an archangel as an African-American man.
Right, right.
I see this icon in the context of, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, concerns with racism, and so on. So this is a very modern 21st century issue that many, many people care about. And I think that the icon has a possibility to address contemporary issues.
So their icons could be more devotional rather than religious. In other words, there could be ideas, concepts, movements like you were talking about Black Lives Movement, as well as religious people. And it's something that's important to you emotionally and probably spiritually too. Then you can still create that object. Is the creation of the icon part of the importance of the object? In other words, making an icon means that you're essentially making some kind of devotional object. Therefore, the creation of it is as much a part of the object as the finished object.
Well, I think that this is a very interesting question, and it's a question that kept coming up in the process of organizing the exhibition. Because, again, one of the definitions of an icon in the medieval period would be that usually icons were painted by, very often they were painted by monks.
Right,
monks,
right.
Monks were iconographers. There were various instructions of what an iconographer should do before starting to paint an icon. For several days, you don't eat meat, you pray. And
okay.
So there's this expectation that the artist himself purifies himself and is obviously a deeply committed religious believer. And therefore, while I was organizing the exhibition, it was a natural question that kept coming up. People would ask me, or even the artists would ask me, if I cared whether the individual artists were believers. And when I told them that I didn't, I was looking for works of art which have extremely high artistic quality. And I think that these works of art, even if they're not created by religious believers, they can have a devotional religious meaning,
okay,
the sort that you were talking about now,
right,
for people who see them. You know, it's in a way, I think you can think of an icon and of a visual image the way you think sometimes of a book, that it is, the meaning is constructed both by the creator, but also by the person who is the reader or the viewer. So it's not just what the artist wants you to see, but what you see. That is part of the function of the icon.
Clement, I want to ask you some general things about traditional icons before we talk about some of the artists in this exhibition. You write that icons predate the split between the Orthodox and the Catholic churches. So there were icons before there was a Russian Orthodox religion?
First of all, icons go back. The very first icons that we have surviving go back to the 6th century.
You have to explain to me. I'm looking at a 6th century object. How do I know that that's an icon?
Well, you know, probably some people will tell you, you have to ask a specialist. I wouldn't say that. You know, let's say the first documented icons are in the monastery of St. Catherine on Mount Sinai.
Okay.
And they are dated to the 6th century.
Wow.
So basically, that means that the art of an icon as a form of artistic creation goes back to late antiquity. And then it goes on throughout the medieval period. And what our exhibition wants to show is that it is a living form of art,
yes,
in modernity.
Now, when I look at icons, they always have certain scenes, but they look unique. When I look at an icon, it doesn't look like any other religious artwork. Like if I look at a painting of the Last Supper from the 15th century, which is done in all sorts of colors, it may be done in oils and stuff like that. It doesn't look like an icon. An icon seems to have a certain style, almost an abstraction, that separates it out from other kinds of religious paintings. Can you delve into that? Like, is that what an icon is? Is there a certain style, an artistic style? I'm trying to pin you down, you know. But I mean, I'm talking about like, say, Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper, which is a religious subject, and it's an important painting, but it's not an, is it an icon? I don't think it's an icon, right?
I wouldn't think it's an icon either, but you know, I think it is interesting what you say and that you give an example with the Last Supper, because I think that what this is revealing of is that we are, all of us, consciously or subconsciously trained to see art very much through the lens of Western Renaissance art.
You're absolutely right.
People in the street,
yeah.
The Last Supper, what's the first image that comes to your mind? And they'll say Leonardo's Last Supper.
Right.
And that means that when we, who are, you know, used to, who have the habit of thinking of art like art is Western Renaissance art. When we see art which is very different from Western Renaissance art, when we see the art of the icon, which first of all predates, has a much longer history before the Renaissance, you know, when we see that kind of art, to us it looks strange, you know, because the space is constructed in a different way, because
right.
the style is different. So all these things that you mention, I think, are interesting to be seen as features of the style that, because they're non-Western and non-Renaissance, first of all, a Western viewer sees them as strange. Very often you think of the way that things are represented as being almost deformed. People often tell you, oh, but there's no idea of depth. There's
right.
no sense of space. It's all flat, you know. Well, I think that actually space in the icon is much, much more complicated than what you see in Leonardo's huh. last supper. So
wait a minute.
So it's not flat. Well, yeah, and I'll tell you why I think it's more complicated.
Yeah, I want to hear you say that. I want to hear you explain it, because that's really fascinating. That's an interesting idea. I'm very willing to accept that, but I want to hear what it is that it's.
Okay. Because Leonardo's Last Supper is very often given in art history books as the prime example of linear Renaissance perspective.
Right.
So, you know, perspective was literally invented in the Renaissance in Italy by Filippo Brunelleschi. And then you have a number of artists who come to mind as the great perspectivists. And The Last Supper is one of these examples.
Right.
You know, the best book, by the way, on Renaissance perspective is called The Science of Art. It's by my supervisor, Martin Kemp. And, you know, the point is that you can see what the book is about is the invention of Renaissance linear perspective, which was seen by people in the Renaissance as the big achievement
right.
of the whole generation of art.
And when I look at icons, most of the time I see an influence of Byzantine painting. To me, it does have a flat look to it. In other words, it's not the linear perspective of Renaissance or later paintings with multiple perspectives,
yes.
but it's a different kind of perspective. But the space it occurs in. It's not situated in this world. It's situated in a spiritual world.
Yes, yes. And you know, in art history, we call that reverse perspective. That's actually a term for it. So you have linear Renaissance perspective, like what you see in Renaissance art, and for example, in The Last Supper. And interestingly, by the way, if you go to an arts academy nowadays, almost everyone can paint in linear perspective after several months of study. So it's no big achievement to be able to create linear Renaissance space. Almost every art student, even the ones that are not very talented, can do that. Well, no, but
it's a mathematical system. It's I know exactly what you're saying. But to create an icon means that you're searching inwardly in a different kind of space.
Yes. So basically, you know, because it is a mathematical geometrical system, you know, it is very easy to teach people to do it quite mechanically. So while what happens in icons is that, first of all, you have a very complex space. It's not flat, you know. It is a very complicated space because it's also non-systematic, which means one part of the painting follows one logic, the other part of the painting follows another logic, so it's not the same all over the canvas. You see what I mean?
So I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
So, in other words, one of the ideas, why it's called reverse, is because the idea is that it reverses, turns around linear Renaissance space. Now, that cannot be true because it predates it. There was no Renaissance space to turn around. But, you know, the point is that the logic is quite different. And I think that even without going into technicalities, it is very much what you say, that in the Renaissance, what people were trying to do was show space the way we really see space around us. What people try to do in icons, what an iconographer tries to represent, is to represent the transcendent world,
right.
God, after the resurrection and so on. You know, an apostle or an archangel and all that, the way they exist in the higher world. And the space in the higher world is very different. In a way, there is no space and time. So the logic is very different. And you're basically trying to show, in a way, the way this is, you know, something I like to describe it in such a way, that reverse perspective is about showing the way God would see our world. So, and that's why it's unrealistic, because it's beyond time and beyond space.
Okay, you're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Klemena Antonova, art historian specializing in the art of the icon, and she's the curator of the exhibition Icons for Our Time, Orthodox Art from Around the World, which is at the Museum of Russian Icons right here in Clinton until April 3rd, 2022. Klemena, I was reading your notes on the exhibition, and you talked about the problem of the Russian avant-garde, and I would assume you mean things like constructivism or the art of Kazimir Malevich.
Yes.
When I looked at Kazimir Malevich's art, which is very abstract, and I happen to really love his work a lot, but it was religious. It had a spiritual aspect of it, didn't it?
Well, again, it depends on how exactly you want to understand religious. Because, you know, Malevich says, writes in many of his essays and so on, that he's not religious, that the art he produces shouldn't be understood as religious, that actually religious art has no place in modernity. He says that over and over again. At the same time, it is true that much of his work has been seen because it has been experienced by people as religious.
Yes.
But it wasn't intended to be religious. So again, that's why I think it's interesting to see what exactly people mean when they say religious.
When he died, wasn't his coffin draped with his students' suprematist work? But when I look at his work, because of the abstractness of it, the nonlinear reality of it, the total abstraction, to me, it has always appealed to me spiritually.
Well, you know, I think to many other people as well, and I think that there is an aspect of Malevich that comes across very strongly to some people as religious, but the point is that it wasn't intended in such a way. Which doesn't mean that it's not religious. It just means it was not intended to be religious. And it also means, and this is why I find Malevich so very interesting, because he was very much inspired by the art of the icon. He was using a lot ideas, artistic ideas coming from the icon. But it doesn't mean that he meant them to have a religious meaning. He was just interested, for example, in this sort of complex space, ideas of composition, colors, and so on. At the same time, you know, because you mentioned, we talked about that at the beginning, that, you know, an icon is seen as an object, a cult object of prayer. You go and pray before an icon. Think of Malevich's black square.
Oh, yeah.
Which, interestingly, was put in the corner.
It was hung across a corner.
Yes. And the reason for that is that there's something which is very typically Russian. Interestingly, it doesn't exist in other Eastern Orthodox countries. You have an idea that, you know, of something which is called in Russian Krasny Ugol, which basically means the beautiful corner or the red corner. And this is the corner in the room where you put usually several, not one, but several icons, and people who live there, they go and pray, turned to this corner. And so in a Russian context, when you put a painting in the corner in such position, you know, basically everybody would recognize it as that this is the red corner, the beautiful corner, where you put icons and where people pray.
Huh.
But can you pray to an image that has, there is no face there? There's no one. It's a black square. It is meant to be nothing. It's total abstraction. It's, in a way, total nothingness. Can you pray to nothingness?
I would say that Zen Buddhists could pray to that. As a focus. We're gonna run out of time. I've got one last question to ask you. Do artists, contemporary artists, who paint icons only paint icons, or do they do other styles of painting and they just happen to paint icons too?
Well, this is again a very good question, because, you know, I just noticed based on my experience with this particular exhibition that some of the artists that contributed to the exhibition could be indeed described as iconographers, because they specialize and they paint exactly icons.
That's it. And that's all. That's their entire oeuvre is icons.
Yeah, they only paint icons.
Okay.
A lot of them are motivated by religious ideas. Some of them converted to Eastern Orthodoxy and so on. But we also have a number of artists who paint other secular works as well. And for them, the icon is just one of the genres that work in.
We're completely out of time. I feel like we just started talking about this exhibition.
My
guest tonight is Klemena Antonova, art historian specializing in the art of the icon, and she is the curator of the exhibition Icons for Our Time, Orthodox Art from Around the World, which is at the Museum of Russian Icons here in Clinton until April 3rd, 2022. And this sounds like a really challenging and fascinating exhibition, Klemena. Are you ever going to come over to give a lecture here?
I hope so. You know, this past year it has been quite difficult to travel,
right,
as you know.
Okay, say no more. Say no more. I'm going to have to say goodnight. Thank you so much for your time, Klemena.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Mark, very much for showing interest in the exhibition we've all been working on at the museum.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.